Western New York race fans, it's time to crank it up.
Start your engines!
For the next hour, the airwaves belong to you. Sit down, strap in, and let's head to WGR's Fast Track.
All right, take a nice big deep breath, buddy.
With your host...
Let's go out there and have a good day, all right, bud?
Dave Buchanan.
Good morning, race fans. 11:03 here on WGR Sports Radio 550. Welcome to another edition of WGR's Fast Track. I'm Dave Buchanan. Thanks for listening as always, and a great race day lined up for you today as we've got NASCAR, we've got IndyCar, and we've got both covered here on today's edition of Fast Track. The IndyCar season kicking off today in St. Petersburg, Florida, the 2019 campaign about to get underway this afternoon, and NASCAR's West Coast road trip rolls on. Week two of the three-week NASCAR Goes West trip, and they're in Phoenix today, and as you heard at Derek's update, we will have the race right here on WGR. The Ticket Guardian 500 at the ISM Raceway, the old Phoenix International Raceway, and coverage, I believe, starts at 2:30 this afternoon, courtesy of our friends at the Motor Racing Network. And speaking of MRN Radio, Woody Kane's going to join us from MRN at the bottom of the hour on today's program to give us a little preview and talk all things NASCAR at 11:35. Before then, we will talk some IndyCar too. Jim Aiello from the Indianapolis Star, Indy Star Motorsports Insider, will join us at quarter past the hour here to give us a look into the IndyCar world heading into the 2019 season, as they have a lot of good news, just a lot of good vibe around IndyCar the last couple of years as the series continues to get stronger, more teams get added to the sport. They've got a new TV deal with NBC. And NBCSN providing them lots of coverage, and then the Indianapolis 500 moving over to NBC this year. So a lot of good vibe out of the IndyCar world going into the 2019 season, and their year kicks off today at St. Petersburg, Florida. We also have time for you, too, of course, because the phone lines are open at 803-0551, 888-550-2550. Phone lines open here. Anything going on in the world of motorsports you want to talk about, it's on the table here for you this morning on Fast Track. You can also send us your tweets at Fast Track 550, at Fast Track 550. We're also on Facebook, too, facebook.com/WGR Fast Track. And since it is the month of March, we're creeping closer. You know, we got 60-degree weather coming up later this week, I think I saw. We're creeping closer to local racing season, and we are officially in car show season, I guess you could say, here in Western New York and Southern Ontario. Lots of car shows, lots of mall shows going on here over the next couple of weeks. The big Motorsports Expo going on in Syracuse this weekend. The Canadian Dirt Tracks have a mall show this weekend. We've got the Ransomville Mall Show coming up in the first weekend of April. So you can tell we've reached that next step in the preseason here leading up to the outdoor racing season here in Western New York, where we're starting to get a look at some 2019 paint schemes, and a lot of the schedules are out for this year, so we're creeping ever so closer. And there was some racing this weekend. Of course, last weekend we talked to Andy Jankowiak about racing at indoors at Syracuse this weekend. That went down Friday and Saturday, and we'll talk more about that later in the hour, but some good runs for the Western New York TQ Midget drivers that went to Syracuse for the first indoor race there at the New York State Fairgrounds as part of the Indoor Auto Racing TQ Midget Championships. The final round of that three-race series was in Syracuse this weekend. And again, some good runs for the Western New York contingent, including Andy J, again, who we talked to on the show last Sunday. But again, phone lines are open here at 803-0551, 888-550-2550, as the IndyCar season kicks off today in St. Petersburg. And everybody looking at defending series champion Scott Dixon as he leads the series into the 2019 campaign. Another year here with Chip Ganassi Racing as Dixon begins the year with looking to kick off his title defense and a quest for potentially sixth championship in IndyCar, looking to go back-to-back, which is something he's never done in his career. He's got championship wins in 03, 08, 13, 15, and of course last year in 2018. And he'll do it with a new teammate this year in Swedish driver Felix Rosenqvist, who moves over. He did a lot of racing over in Europe and across the globe, touring cars, Formula E, lots of experience in numerous forms of racing, and he is the new co-driver there at Chip Ganassi Racing, along with the reigning series champion Scott Dixon. Of course, the Ganassi team, one of the big power teams in IndyCar, and they'll have their usual foes over at Penske Racing, and Will Power, who is on the pole for today's race at St. Petersburg. The 2017 series champion will be, or excuse me, that was Juice Newgardner's, I'm sorry, Will Power, the 2014 series champion, leads the Penske contingent, along with former champs Joseph Newgarden and Simon Pagenaud, who, of course, they had that run from 2014 to 2017, winning 3 out of 4 championships those years. And then you've got, of course, the Andretti Autosport, the other big team in IndyCar, and they have a familiar lineup here in 2019 with Marco Andretti. Of course, Ryan Hunter-Reay, the former series champ, Alexander Rossi, the former Indy 500 champion, and Zach Veach, the kind of the young gun of the Andretti Autosport bunch, the three big teams in IndyCar. But then you've got a lot of good mid-level teams and a couple of teams on the rise in the sport as well, too. With, of course, you've got the Schmidt-Peterson Motorsports team, which is led by Canadian James Hinchcliffe. He'll have a new team driver this year as well. As you all, I'm sure, are aware, of course, Robert Wicken started out last year, a huge start off to his rookie season last year for Schmidt-Peterson. Had some great runs early on. We had him on the program. And then was involved in that horrific incident at Pocono later on in the summer. And suffering some serious injuries, including a spinal cord injury. He is relearning how to walk and obviously out of the car right now. But he's been at St. Petersburg this weekend, just being around the paddock and getting to see all of his friends in the IndyCar world this weekend, which is great news. But, of course, his seat has been taken over this year by another Swedish driver, Marcus Ericsson, who most recently, of course, drove in Formula One. He has made the shift over to IndyCar this year, and he'll be the team driver to Hinchcliffe there at Schmidt-Peterson Motorsports. And then you've got, you know, some of the other mid-level teams, Rahal Letterman-Lanigan Racing with Graham Rahal and Takuma Sato, Ed Carpenter Racing with Ed Carpenter, the team owner and driver, and Spencer Pigott. Dale Coyne, of course, with Sebastian Bourdais. They've got a new rookie co-driver as well, too, in Santino Ferrucci. AJ Foyt Racing with Tony Kanaan and Matthias Leist, who's back for his second season. Then you got some of the newer teams that have come to the sport just the last couple of years. Carlin Racing with Max Chilton and Charlie Kimball, and also Harding Racing, which had an impressive start to their year. And they've got a partnership with George with Steinbrenner, one of the Steinbrenners, and it's a Harding Steinbrenner Racing, and they've got a rookie sensation on their hands, potentially an 18-year-old Colton Herta, who is kind of shocked the IndyCar world here in a preseason test at the Circuit of the Americas. He was fastest in 3 out of 4 practice sessions, really turned some heads. He had a strong qualifying effort yesterday at St. Petersburg, but then a penalty during the qualifying session for impeding the progress of another driver took him out of the chance to win the pole for today's race. But still, Colton Herta is off to an impressive start. So a lot of strong talent throughout the IndyCar paddock, the big three teams, and then you've got some of the other teams that have been around a few years, and then you've got the some of these newer teams that have entered the sport last couple of years, and it's a great mix of talent and definitely a lot of good things surrounding IndyCar heading into the 2019 season. Much like they had a great 2018, it continues into the 2019 season. A couple more schedule changes this year for IndyCar as well, too. Of course, last year we unfortunately lost our race at Watkins Glen after the folks at the Glen and IndyCar couldn't come to terms on a new date. They wanted to get out of the Labor Day weekend slot. There wasn't much luck there. We've been told in the past by Michael Printip they hope to maybe get back on the IndyCar schedule in 2020 or 2021. But, of course, we still have the race in Toronto, which has been on this part of the IndyCar schedule for decades now. They'll be back in Toronto in July 14th for the traditional Honda Indy Toronto there at Exhibition Place. The final race of the year has also changed. The IndyCar series is kind of wrapped up at the Sonoma Raceway the last couple of years, but that's a change this year now. The final race of the season IndyCar still will be in California, but it'll be at the historic Laguna Seca, the WeatherTech Raceway there at Laguna Seca, the iconic road course out there in California. That is the new championship race for the IndyCar schedule. So it'll be two West Coast races to wrap up the IndyCar season once again, as of course, last year, Portland took the Watkins Glen spot on the schedule Labor Day weekend, and then they'll wrap up the season 3 weeks later at Laguna Seca this year instead of Sonoma. When you look at the schedule, rest of the schedule for IndyCar after St. Petersburg, then they will, of course, head to Circuit of the Americas in Austin, Texas for the first time ever for an IndyCar race, which, of course, hosts the U.S. Grand Prix every year for Formula One. IndyCar will make their debut there at March 24th. Then they head to Birmingham, then the traditional race at Long Beach. Then you head to the month of May, of course, and things head over to Indianapolis in the Brickyard. You've got the Grand Prix race on the road course there at Indy Mother's Day weekend, May 11th. And then, of course, the 103rd running of the greatest spectacle in racing, the Indianapolis 500 Memorial Day weekend. And again, that will be on NBC this year, first time ever on NBC after that race was on ABC going back to the 1960s. Then the traditional trip to Belle Isle in Detroit for the doubleheader after Indianapolis, Texas. Then they go to Road America. Then the aforementioned Toronto race. The short track at Iowa, Mid-Ohio, then Pocono in August, followed up by Gateway, which is a great date. They get a great support there at Gateway Motorsports Park near St. Louis. And then again, they wrap up their schedule in September with the two races out west with Portland and Laguna Seca. So I always get excited here at the start of the year. Obviously, we try to follow IndyCar a little bit here on the show, but don't cover it as in-depth as obviously NASCAR and some of the local stuff we do, but still, I always find it a fascinating series to watch with the amount of technology, not as much as, say, Formula One, but still the cars are fascinating, and the series, again, I just like the positivity surrounding it after we deal with all the negative and all the controversy in NASCAR on a week-to-week basis. It's fun just to have some positive vibes just to talk about IndyCar and everything that they've got going for them, although there's still plenty of controversy from time to time in the IndyCar series. And there's a little bit in qualifying yesterday as they lined up the field for today's race at St. Petersburg. A couple of drivers had some penalties for impeding other drivers' progress or causing a local caution, which voids their two fastest lap times, and a couple of drivers really felt the sting from that. Takuma Sato failed to move on to the second round of qualifying because of that, and then as we talked about, the rookie Colton Herta had a shot to maybe go for the pole, go away because of that rule. As we look at the starting lineup for today's race at St. Petersburg, Will Power on the pole alongside his teammate Joseph Newgarden. The Ganassi cars in row two with rookie Felix Rosenquist and Scott Dixon in row two. Then you got the Andretti cars of Ryan Hunter-Reay, Alexander Rossi, Jack Harvey, Charlie Kimball, James Hinchcliffe, and Graham Rahal round out the top 10 starters. Then you've got rookies Colton Herta and Ben Hanley, who is a rookie, even though he is 34 years of age and is an experienced driver over in Europe. He has made the move over to IndyCar this year, driving for Dragon Speed Racing. That's your top 12 starters for today's race. And with that, we're going to go to the Wester Hotline and bring in from the Indianapolis Star, IndyStar Motorsports Insider, Jim Aiello joins us. Jim, it's Dave Buchanan here in Buffalo. Good morning and happy start to the IndyCar season.
Thanks, Dave. Yeah, nice to join you. Thanks for having me on here. Yeah, it's finally time. I wrote a few days ago. It's nice to finally be able to stop talking about what the IndyCar season might be like and actually have some races to talk about. So I'm looking forward to it.
Well, we'll have to ask you a few more questions on what the season might be like here, Jim, as we kind of preview the season with you as it kicks off today in St. Petersburg. And again, it's nice, you know, dealing with all of NASCAR's issues on a day-to-day basis. It's nice to talk about IndyCar because it just seems like, kind of like going into last year, this year as well, too, a lot of positivity surrounding the series, a new TV deal with NBC, more teams and drivers and Formula One drivers getting involved in the sport. And again, just a lot of happy thoughts here coming into the IndyCar season.
Absolutely. A lot of positive momentum. I think the NBC deal with, you know, them being the exclusive broadcasting partner of IndyCar in the United States is going to be really big. I mean, NBC has really taken on the mantle and the responsibility of what that means in terms of trying to promote IndyCar all the time across all of its platforms and using, you know, talking about it during the NFL playoffs when that was going on and during the Super Bowl and during golf and doing everything. I mean, you're seeing plenty of IndyCar promotion now, and that's NBC has really embraced being the sole provider of IndyCar, and that's really going to help. And then, like you said, you have a lot of talented drivers coming around. I mean, this is kind of the year you could look at it as somewhat of like a a European invasion. You know, you mm-hmm. have Marcus Ericsson, who's a really talented guy. He's an ex-Formula One driver. He's with Schmidt-Peterson Motorsports, who looks to be taking a big step up. They kind of want to make that big three that IndyCar has, a big four, with all the money that they've been spending in the offseason. And then you have Felix Rosenquist, who I can't remember a guy who came into the series with more hype, mm-hmm. honestly. I mean, this is a guy that I was talking to Alexander Rossi the other day, and he's like, man, yeah. I said something about him being maybe a sleeper. He's like, oh, no, he's no sleeper. He's going to win races this year. So that's you got that. And then, of course, you got Fernando coming in for the 500 again. So, yeah, a little bit of a European invasion coming here. So it should be a very, very exciting season.
What is the reason for these drivers coming across the pond like this? Is it just better money, better opportunities in IndyCar? Just what is the reason for these guys coming across?
The chance to win. I mean, I think anybody that watches Formula One races knows that if you're not part of one of the two or three, you know, best teams, you really don't have much of a chance to win. I thought one of the more interesting stats on a guy like Marcus Ericsson is that during 2015, he actually finished ahead of Fernando Alonso in the point standings in Formula One, and that was during Fernando's first year at McLaren. So that's not to say that Marcus is a better driver than Fernando Alonso, but it does kind of give you a pretty clear view of, if you don't have the car, there's not a lot you can do. Fernando Alonso was one of the most talented drivers in the world, and that's what happened to him. And we're talking about Marcus finishing ahead of the points, and that's like, I think it was like 14th and 15th in the points in Formula One. So really, if Marcus has been talking a lot about that recently, is that he came here, he knows now that he has a chance to win every time he goes out there on the track, especially with the team that he's got. But you got 11, 12, 13 different drivers who enter every race weekend with a legitimate chance to win.
Well, you talk about all the different teams and new faces, but can you tell me how we're not going to see a champion come from either Penske Racing or Chip Ganassi Racing this year? Just looking back at the last 5 years, Dixon's got three championships, then the three Penske drivers each winning a title. How does a series champion this year not come from one of those teams this season?
That's interesting. And you know what? I mean, if you're putting money down on it, you definitely bet on one of those three teams, right? But I guess the way I would say is if it goes back to what I was talking about before. Arrow Schmidt-Peterson Motorsports might be your kind of underdog sleeper team of the year in that Arrow, their sponsor, came on and said, you know, even after James Hinchcliffe missed the 500 last year, they mm-hmm. said, we're not leaving you. In fact, we're going to double down. And they invested more money into the program. And I was talking to Sam Schmidt, the team owner, the other day, and he was saying it's a dream come true. I mean, this is what every team owner would ever want, is that they're going to have every resource they need in order to compete with Penske, Ganassi, and Andretti. And so that's how it could happen. If you're looking for a surprise championship contender, Hinchcliffe, Marcus Ericsson, those two guys have a chance, have the resources to make it happen. Now, I'm not saying I'm picking one of those guys necessarily yet, but I definitely think that's the way it happens. That's the avenue, the way it can unfold.
How about Penske? Obviously, Will Power, Newgarden, just a champion 2 years ago, and then Pagenaud, who won the title back in 2016, but winless last year. You know, which one of those drivers, you know, needs to have the big year this year?
Well, yeah, I mean, I would say, you know, Will Power is still kind of at the peak. It's funny, he's 38 years old, but I still think he's kind of in his racing prime. We saw mm-hmm. him win the 500 last year. So, I mean, after having won the 500, I don't think he needs to do anything. So, yeah, I think in terms of bounce back years, you're looking for Pagenaud and Newgarden. Newgarden obviously has an incredible amount of talent, is very driven, very focused this year to make sure what happened last year, which was really just kind of a second-half tail off. He had a really good start to the year. He won the first few races, or two of the first few races, and had won 5 of 10 if you went back to his championship season in 2017. And then May came along, and it wasn't a great May. And from there on, it was just kind of not a really Joseph Newgarden-like season. And then Simon Pagenaud just never really got comfortable in the new car. I mean, really struggled with the new aero kit and mm-hmm. had some problems adjusting to it. But it's feeling a lot, you know, more confident going into this year. Roger Penske was talking about that the other day, saying how much better he thinks Simon feels going into the season. So both those guys need to have a bounce back year. Simon, we've seen this before. I mean, his first year at Penske, he didn't do so well, didn't have any wins. And then the next year, he went just crazy, won five races and won the championship pretty easily. So, you know, you could see him bouncing back like that again this year.
And then over at Andretti Autosport, Jim, I just love Alexander Rossi so much. I mean, his 500 win, but just whenever he just looks like he could just break through at any moment and just take over the sport. And I think it would be a great thing if he did for a young American driver like that to maybe just go on a run this year. But really, I'd like he'd be my maybe not my favorite, but he'd be my sentimental pick for the championship this year.
I picked him to win the championship, so you and I are on the same page. He's got everything you need. I mean, he's got the team. He's got the talent. He's got the determination. Last year, he doesn't like talking about it so much, but last year was a huge motivator for him when he came up just short of Scott Dixon. And then it hurts. There was he can retrace the steps. In fact, I made him do it the other day. The places last year where it kind of went awry for him. And everybody remembers Detroit, where he kind of pushed a little too hard, and Ryan Hunter-Reay ended up getting the win, and he ended up settling for sorry, there's a lot of clapping going on in the background here. I hope that's for me. He kind of pushed too hard. So.
All right, we've seemed to lost connection with Jim Aiello there over in St. Petersburg. That happens on race days when you get a lot of people. We'll catch up with him in just a minute. We're getting Jim right back on the line here. Derek is on top of it. And as soon as we get the thumbs up from Derek, we will go back to Jim in St. Petersburg. Jim, there, we lost you for a second. They're talking about Alexander Ross. That's okay.
Well, must have been all that applause maybe broke it up. I don't know. But, Alexander Ross, he went back and saw last year what kind of the places where the missteps were, learned that, you know, you have to be able to kind of settle for if you can't get a race win. He's going to push as hard as he can for a race win, but if you're not going to have it, it's going to be okay to settle for a third, fourth, fifth, like Scott Dixon did last year. And that's how you put together a championship season. So I expect that kind of season from Alexander Rossi.
And then another team and driver I want to ask you about, and maybe just give us the primer overview on this, both this team and driver, because Cup, they're not really household names as of yet, but Harding Steinbrenner Racing and 18-year-old Colton Herta. Tell us about this group.
Yeah, so Harding came into the, it was actually Harding Racing last year. They came into the IndyCar season as kind of a new full-time team. They had raced at the 500 at 2017, but at 2018 they came in with Gabby Chavez and had a lot to learn. And they had some ups and downs, but eventually what they decided to do in order to kind of speed up as their progression was to team with George Steinbrenner IV, the grandson of George Steinbrenner, the Yankees owner, and the former Yankees owner, I should say. And the other thing they did was partner with Andretti Technologies as to help out with their engineering, with their damper program, with all the things that can make them competitive faster. So between those two things, and then you get a talented kid like Colton Herta, who's the son of Brian Herta.
Mm-hmm.
Put those two things together, and all of a sudden, man, they're a team to watch. They really are. They're really fun. They're really fast, and we've seen Colton Herta yesterday during qualifying, even he had a chance at starting in the fast six. It didn't quite work out because he got penalized for slowing up another car behind him. Just a little small rookie mistake, but he'll learn from that, and that won't be the last fast six he competes for. That's for sure.
And they had a preseason test at COTA, and he led three of the four sessions. And what some teams thought the car wasn't legit because the kid was so fast. Is that what happened?
Yeah, the car was a little bit light, I guess, when it was tested afterwards. So that was a little bit interesting, but I think, as we've seen in the last day here, or last couple of days, is that the speed was legitimate. Maybe that speed was a little faster than they should have been going or something like that, but I think this team has definitely got some speed this year, and they're going to compete. I mean, like I said, I don't think you can underestimate what teaming with Andretti Technology is going to do for them. That really does speed up the learning curve for a new team, while other teams like Carlin and, say, Dragon Speed and Meyerschenk Racing, they're all kind of doing it their own way. They're learning as they go. This partnership really speeds up the process for a team like for Harding Steinbrenner.
Last thing before we let you go, Jim, we didn't talk too much about today's race, but you know it's interesting. You got Penske, Ganassi, and Andretti there in those first three rows. But just real quick, what do you think to expect to see in today's race at St. Petersburg?
Yeah, gosh, it's so hard to know, right? Because the last couple of years, it's been Sebastian Bourdais coming from the back, rallying from behind, and getting those wins. So anything can happen here. There's been a bunch of cars going into the wall, so if we start getting yellow flags and red flags, then that could throw things off a little bit. But I think if we see a clean race, you're going to see those six cars that you just mentioned up at the front. I made the bold prediction that Scott Dixon, there's a lot Scott Dixon hasn't done in his career at this point, but one of them is win at St. Pete. He's never done it. And he's 0-14. So I made the bold prediction that he snaps that streak this year and gets the win. But who knows? Like I said, it's been Bourdais from the back the last couple of years, so anything can happen.
Jim, I always love your content over on the IndyStar website, but you've got some new content out there in the world, and it's a podcast with Connor Daly,
yeah.
IndyCar Weekly. I've listened to most of the episode, the premiere episode, but a great job you guys are doing. I enjoy Connor's insight on the IndyCar world.
Thanks so much. Yeah, as I said, everybody kind of knows Connor as he's a fan favorite driver around Indy and around the world after what he did on The Amazing Race, for sure. But I think the thing that people are learning about Connor Daly is he's a very, very smart driver, has a great insight, he grew up in the sport, really just knows the environment so well. So to me, honestly, I'm looking forward to learning a lot about IndyCar, just talking to him every week, and I hope fans are too.
Just search IndyCar Weekly wherever you find your podcast and check that out. The premiere episode is now available. Jim, thanks so much for joining us on a busy race day morning. Enjoy the race at St. Petersburg. Enjoy the IndyCar season, and hopefully we'll catch up with you a little bit further down the IndyCar schedule this year.
Absolutely. Anytime. And then you enjoy the race, too. It should be a good one.
Sounds good. Thanks, Jim.
Thank you.
Jim Aiello from the Indianapolis Star, IndyStar Motorsports Insider, covers the series. Always on the beat there. He does a great job. And, yeah, that podcast, really fun to hear Connor Daly's takes. And he's doesn't have a full-time ride, but will be attempting to qualify for the Indianapolis 500 in May as a driver for Andretti Autosport, one of those kind of one-off deals. Also, Fernando Alonso will once again attempt to qualify for the Indianapolis 500 as he and McLaren. They are going to team up with Carlin Racing this year instead of Andretti Autosport. And Alonso, who had a good shot at it last year till some mechanical issues, he will attempt to qualify again. Pippa Mann, another name you might be familiar with. She is also going to, right now, locked in to do the Indianapolis 500, at least, further down the line. So that is coming up this afternoon over on NBC, NBCSN. And that'll be the first half of your race day. The other half will be NASCAR in Phoenix. And when we get back, we're going to talk about that with Woody Kane from the Motor Racing Network, because we've got the race here on WGR coming up this afternoon. So that's coming up next here on Fast Track on WGR.
Hi, this is Kevin Harvick, driver of the Jimmy John's Ford. You're listening to WGR Sports Radio 550.
And NASCAR is at Happy Harvick's, one of his best tracks. He is a 9-time Phoenix winner, and he leads the charge today at Phoenix ISM Raceway for today's Ticket Guardian 500. We'll have live coverage here on WGR starting at 2:30 this afternoon, courtesy of the Motor Racing Network. We're going to talk to Woody Kane from MRN in just a couple of minutes. Harvick, though, qualifying 8th for today's race as Young Guns Ryan Blaney and Chase Elliott on the front row for today's race. Blaney, the Penske Ford, will lead the field of green alongside Elliott. Joe Gibbs teammates Denny Hamlin and Kyle Busch in row 2. Kyle Busch, another Xfinity Series win yesterday, and I think that's 198 for his career in NASCAR's top three series, and I think 94th in his Xfinity Series career as he looks to get to the 200 win mark, which, again, isn't the same as Richard Petty, but still a great accomplishment, and it's fun ticking off people saying it's just as good as Richard Petty's 200 wins, but still a remarkable career already for Kyle Busch. Row 3, it'll be Brad Keselowski and Hendrick driver Alex Bowman. Row 4 is William Byron and the aforementioned Mr. Harvick. Rounding out your top 10 starters are the other two Joe Gibbs drivers, Martin Truex and Eric Jones. Daniel Hemric continues to impress here early on for RCR with an 11th starting qualifying spot today. Joey Logano right there in 12th. Joey, of course, coming off the win at Vegas last week, holding off Brad Keselowski at the line to get his first win of his 2019 title defense. And last week's race maybe disappointed some people. There was some flashes of brilliance, and there was some, yeah, the first stage was pretty freaking bad. But the new aero package, it's a step in a process, and I think some people were expecting a lot more and were disappointed. I thought the first stage was no different than any other mile-and-a-half race we've seen in recent years, but the second stage, the first half of the second stage was really exciting, and the last stretch of the race with Brad catching Joey Logano right there on the last lap was very good. So some mixed results last week at Vegas, and I think that'll be a continuing process with the new aero package. Luckily, we don't talk too much about aero today, but we're going to talk racing right now on the Western Hotline with Woody Kane of the Motor Racing Network. Woody, it's Dave Buchanan here in Buffalo. Great to talk to you again.
Hey, Dave. How are you?
Doing well. Great to catch up with you. And first chance we've had to talk to one of you guys from the Motor Racing Network, as we'll have the race here today on WGR with the pre-race coverage starting at 2:30. Today's Ticket Guardian 500, Woody, and like I said, it's nice. I know there is a new aero package at Phoenix, but it's not going to be as big a storyline as it was last weekend at Vegas, thank goodness.
Well, it'll be a little bit different because they'll get all the horsepower back. Remember the progress of this. We first experimented with it in the Xfinity side, but then when it came to the Cup side in the All-Star race last year, they cut it down from about 750-ish horsepower to 450-ish. Then we come to the iteration this year that's approximately 550 at tracks like Atlanta and Las Vegas, here at Phoenix, we're going to have all the downforce with the body changes that they've done, plus the horsepower back up over 700, so that should make it really interesting as well. The speeds are going to be up so much, in fact, that Goodyear has kind of warned the teams about air pressure early in a run in their tires to make sure they don't overtax them.
Yeah, I did see that notice that came out during the week, because that could mean a foreshadow one of those days where we see a lot of blown tires and, you know, guys getting upset at Goodyear. But like you said, Goodyear tries to tell these teams, you know, hey, set your PSI right or you won't have to go through this issue.
Right, and that's something that they do to kind of say, look, we told you guys when we start to see any issues, if we do, and that remains to be seen, but it's definitely something to keep an eye on today.
Phoenix, ISM Raceway, this, of course, will be the second race with the new configuration with the start-finish line in the old turns 1 and 2 area there at ISM Raceway. And Woody, from last year's race in November and what we've seen so far this weekend and maybe what you've heard from drivers, has the reconfiguration changed the strategy for drivers and how they race the racetrack there in Phoenix?
Maybe not in the long term over the course of a race, but it has, particularly on restarts, because they have so much more room. You know, when it was on the old configuration, 1 and 2 was very narrow. They had to make sure they were in line to get there before they got to that turn, or we were going to have a big problem. Mm-hmm. Now they have all that room where they can dive down low, spread out around the track. The old 3 and 4, which is now 1 and 2, is wider, so it does make for some more wildness on the restarts, and I think that's going to be the biggest factor in terms of the way that reconfiguration plays out today. Brad Keselowski said, in fact, going into the last race there last year, that he was thinking it was going to be, he just said it, a disaster, and then said, I'm going to have to eat a little crow, because he loved it, and most of the guys seem to be of that same opinion.
Looking at today's starting lineup, a nice mix of talent here from some of the big teams. What do you expect for today's race? Who are some of the favorites we should keep an eye on today for, Woody?
Kevin Harvick, Kevin Harvick. I mean, look, he's only won 9 times there, right? Nobody is really close to that. But a guy to keep an eye on, of course, is the guy who's red hot right now, Kyle Busch. He won the last race there last year under this reconfiguration that we talked about. The race before that, this race a year ago, he finished 2nd, so he's very good at Phoenix as well. And kind of some surprising power after we've kind of spent the early part of the season wondering what was wrong with them. Hendrick Motorsports has 3 of their cars in the top 10. Of course, Chase Elliott on the outside of the front row, and then Alex Bowman, a Tucson guy, so it's a home game for him, and William Byron, Jimmy Johnson, starting back in the 15th spot. But a little bit of speed there. Of course, we've seen so far, particularly on the RCR side, that practice speed, qualifying speed, has not yet translated all that well to race speed, but this is a little bit of a different animal, so we'll see how that plays out. Then if you look at, if you're into the fantasy racing thing, a lot of guys look at the 10-lap averages from that final practice, and you see a lot of the usual suspects up there, but one guy who may surprise in that category to show some longer run speed is Eric Almirola, so keep an eye on him as well.
Woody, of course, the track at Phoenix has led to some drama and some incidents of pushing and shoving, especially that November race when tensions are really high headed to the championship race at Homestead. But it's not often we see pushing and shoving after qualifying. We got a little bit of that between Daniel Suarez and Michael McDowell. For the fans that weren't watching qualifying Friday, what happened there that set off Daniel Suarez and Michael McDowell there to have that shoving match?
Okay, they've tweaked qualifying so that it's now more of a group-style qualifying like we used to see on the super speedways before we went back to single-car qualifying there, which to me is kind of like watching paint dry. But anyway, that means you're trying to make sure you get out at the optimum time to get a draft from somebody in front of you, and it leads to this game of pulling down to the end of pit road, and the guys are kind of looking at each other going, you go, no, you go, no, you go. Well, then when they finally think they're going to get that lap and get it the way they want it, Michael McDowell and Daniel Suarez got tangled up in that Suarez felt like McDowell pulled in front of him to mess up his qualifying lap, and then McDowell was upset because he felt like that Suarez tried to block him or thump him a little after that. So Suarez goes walking up to him to talk about it, and then, as they say, used to say in the old TV guide, mayhem ensued.
Yeah,
and the funny thing is, Suarez had an appearance at the track this morning with a wrestler that was previously
planned.
So, I mean, how could that have worked out any crazier?
Yeah, Daniel Suarez and WWE legend Rey Mysterio were appearing together at the racetrack this weekend too. On top of it, so I wonder if Rey loaned Daniel his lucha mask for today's driver deductions, because they're right together in the starting lineup, Woody, and so Michael and Daniel have to spend driver deductions riding around the track together in that same truck for driver intros.
Yeah, isn't that the way it always seems to happen? When guys have a problem, they get stuck right next to each other or in the same truck during the ride around. However, yesterday NASCAR called both of the guys to the hauler, talked to them about it, and they talked about 5 minutes on their own after that. So we expect that all that, at least in their minds, is in the past. But as we've seen, race car drivers have short memories, so it won't take much of a spark to this gasoline to make that thing flare up again, I suspect.
What do you make? This is a big year for Daniel. I mean, he had a couple seasons at JGR, maybe didn't go as well as he'd wanted, but of course, kind of he was thrown into the mix after Carl Edwards' retirement. Here he's starting fresh with Stewart Haas Racing, but I'm sure he wants to make a good impression. What do you make of what this young man has to do this season?
Well, a couple of things jump out at you there. He even said, as you did, that he wasn't quite ready when that unexpected retirement from Carl Edwards came. They had hoped to keep him on the Xfinity side for a little bit longer. And if you think way back, it's kind of the same thing that happened to Joey Logano back in the day when he got pushed up into the Cup seat before he was quite ready. Joey says now he wouldn't trade that experience for anything, and I suspect Daniel is the same way. He said they just never could quite get the feel they were looking for when he was in that JGR equipment. I kind of equate it to what happened with Eric Almirola last year. Remember, he had been with Richard Petty Motorsports, and they had really struggled and had not gotten the speed they wanted. He goes into a Stewart Haas Racing car and makes the playoffs, does very well, darn near won the Daytona 500. I see a similar trajectory for Daniel Suarez. I really like his talent. I think he's a good guy. He's got a lot going for him, and I think we're going to see good things from him all season long. Don't be surprised if he turns out to be a playoff guy.
Yeah, well, right now, it's obviously very early, only three races into the regular season, but right now, 18th in the standings through the first three races on the outside looking in, but still a lot of time to go in this regular season. Woody Kane, of course, again, we're going to have the race here on WGR today. What can race fans look forward to during pre-race coverage and today's broadcast of the Ticket Guardian 500 when they listen to it here on WGR?
Well, the one thing that's really cool is our newest booth anchor, Alex Hayden, who is a longtime pit road reporter and has done a lot of turn work and some booth work for the truck and Xfinity races, has a sit-down interview with Joey Logano that I'm really looking forward to. Everything I've heard, I wasn't in the room when they did the interview, but everything that I've heard says Joey was really open, talked a lot about the Penske way, some stuff about his young son Hudson starting to get interested in cars, and that's going to be something that's really, really special as well. We've also got a little feature, a fun one, looking at spring training baseball. A lot of the guys are fans of other sports. Some are not, like Joey Logano, for example. But Kurt Busch, remember, a couple of years ago, was pursuing that bucket list of visiting all the Major League Baseball stadiums. So we got some fun stuff there from guys talking about with spring training coming up and being in Arizona, where a lot of the teams have their spring training camps, to talk about that. It's going to be a lot of fun.
I love Kurt Busch when he goes to those other sports. I know he's a big Cubbies fan. The thing he did with the Golden Knights there in Vegas when he was on the NBC on hockey broadcast, that was a ton of fun watching him there and listening to him between the benches with Pierre McGuire on that broadcast on NBCSN.
Yeah, a lot of fun. And those guys really get into it. You know, we've seen many guys over the years be called upon to do the first pitch at a baseball stadium when the races happen to be in the same town where there's an MLB game. A lot of guys aren't so much fans of other sports, but a lot are. Like, for example, Austin Dillon and Ty Dillon have this big war in fantasy football going on, and they're huge fans of the Carolina Panthers and other sports as well, like the Dillons are big Braves fans, for example. So a lot of the guys dabble in other sports and really take that to heart when they get a chance to meet some of the athletes and other forms of competition and kind of pick their brains a little bit and learn something from them. And the guys in the other sports do the same with the race car drivers. It's really kind of interesting to see that dynamic in play.
And poor TJ Majors, Joey Logano's sponsor, he's a Buffalo Bills fan.
Yeah, go figure. You know, I mean, what are you going to do? But they're off to a really good start. Team Penske as a whole already, both of their cars have already, in terms of Joey Logano and Brad Keselowski, have won. Yep. Ryan Blaney on the pole today. Mm-hmm. They really got it going on here in the early part of the season in a brand-new Mustang. And remember the troubles that Chevy had last year with the Camaro on the early part of the season.
We'll see and hear how it plays out today on WGR, courtesy of the Motor Racing Network. Ticket Guardian 500 coming up at 2:30 this afternoon. Woody, thanks so much for the time this morning. Always great to chat with you, and hopefully we can do it again later this season.
You bet, Dave. Talk to you soon.
All right. Thanks, Woody. Woody Kane from the Motor Racing Network. And again, they'll have flag-to-flag coverage of today's race here on WGR. And where was I going to go with that? I had to throw in the joke there because of all the fans of all the different sports, but TJ Majors, of course, Western New York native, being a Bills fan. Oh, Kurt Busch. And if you didn't see it, they did a Vegas Golden Knights game in NBCSN, and of course, Pierre McGuire between the benches. And then Kurt Busch was there. They cranked the big horn before the game like they do there in Vegas, and he spent a period between the benches with Pierre and had him on the headset on the broadcast. And so I thought, since I between the benches for our Buffalo Bandits broadcast here on ESPN 1520 and WGR, can I get a NASCAR driver to spend maybe a half of Bandits lacrosse between the benches with me? I thought that'd be fun. I told the folks at Watkins Glen, let's make it happen. I don't think it's gonna, but that'd be cool. It's a totally different world. You watch a game on a sport on TV or from a press box or in the stands, and then to be, if you've never played the sport like I have, to be down there between the benches like I get to do for the Bandits, it's an eye-opening experience, and it's definitely what a way to watch a sport, any kind of sport, up close and personal like that. But I thought it was cool what Kurt Busch did that with Pierre McGuire, and again, I'd love to take any NASCAR driver that wants to come spend a half of Bandits lacrosse with me between the benches. That'd be a lot of fun. All right, when we get back, we'll wrap up this edition of Fast Track. We'll talk about the racing this weekend at Syracuse for the TQ Midgets Indoors. Andy Jankowiak, who we had on the show last week, one of the Western New York drivers that went to Syracuse this weekend. We'll talk about how they did when we get back here on Fast Track on WGR.
This is Kyle Busch, driver of the number 18 M&M Toyota. You're listening to WGR Sports Radio 550.
Kyle Busch denied the weekend sweep at Vegas last weekend, with Joey Logano's winning the Cup Series after Kyle won on Friday and Saturday. Kyle looked to bounce back today at Phoenix and ISM Raceway for today's race again. 2:30 live coverage starts here on WGR Green Flag just after 3:30. Again, racing in Syracuse this weekend indoors at the New York State Fairgrounds, the Indoor TQ Midgets Championships, as we talked about that last week with Andy Jankowiak. Friday night action. NASCAR modified driver Justin Bonsignor, who we've had on the program in the past, picked up the win over Ransomville's Eric Rudolph. Timmy Solomito rounded out the top three. Andy Jankowiak finished fifth. Then you had Bliss's Jeremy Haudricourt in 10th. Lockport's Jonathan Reed finished 15th. Timmy Catalano finishing 22nd. Kyle Hutchinson making, I think, his first ever indoor start, the former outdoor NYPA TQ Midget champ. Driver for John Casey finished 25th in his first time indoors, I believe, with the TQ Midgets. And then last night's action, Eric Rudolph picked up the feature win and locked up the indoor series championship with that win. Another championship for Eric indoors. He got the win. Tommy Catalano finished third. Andy Jankowiak was in fourth. Jeremy Haudricourt finished 11th. Sean Nye from Lancaster was 16th. Patrick Emmerling, the Race of Champions, former series champion, rolled his car over in the B main on Friday, but made the A main on Saturday, finished 17th. Scott Kruder, driving for Trey Hoddick, finished 18th. Jonathan Reed in 20th. Tim Nye, the former Western New Yorker, now living down south of the Nye family with brothers Sean and Andy, he finished 24th. In the Saturday feature, so plenty of Western New York talent in the A-Main both nights. Eric Rudolph, as I said, winning the series championship this year. Andy J finished second in the standings, but 70 points back of Eric. Justin Bonsignor rounded out the top three. Eddie Strada and Matt Janish, a regular on the TQ circuit from over in Long Island in New Jersey, round up the top five in TQ series points. So looked like from a social media, good turnout both nights there over in Syracuse. It was a great weekend. Very cool deal they put together there. On course, this weekend, as I said, the Motorsports Expo, which has been the traditional March car show there at the New York State Fairgrounds for racing enthusiasts in Western and Central New York. And then they brought in this TQ race on top of it. So you already had a built-in audience of tons of racing people that already come to Syracuse this time of year for the Expo, and then to add that race on top of it, just great planning and great promotion by everybody involved there. So it was a great weekend. I know lots of people on my social media feeds from this area that are race fans went to go check out the show and the racing this weekend, and a lot of people had a great time. And again, it looked like a nice setup they had there, a temporary setup inside one of the bigger, newer buildings there at the New York State Fairgrounds. Hopefully someday someday we can get an indoor race back here in Western New York, as, of course, we talked about with Andy last week, the old indoor shows at Niagara Falls. And speaking of Eric Rudolph, I remember, of course, announcing the last year we ran indoors at Niagara Falls, Eric won a go-kart race. He was, I don't know, all of, what, 6 or 8 years old back then. And, of course, such a talented third-generation driver with the Super Dirt Car Series and used to run on the pavement as well, too. But he is maybe one of the all-time greats when it comes to the indoor TQ midget racing throughout the Northeast. We did get some good news for local pavement racing outdoors this week. The Race of Champions announced that they, along with Jeff DeMink, have partnered up. They will run a 6-race promotion at the Spencer Speedway this year, including 3 dates for the Race of Champions Modified Series. They'll have 6 total dates on Friday nights in all at Spencer, as that track was in danger of not hosting any events this season. But the folks from the Race of Champions and Jeff DeMink will lease the facility from John White for those 6 events. There was some Lancaster news this week, but concerning Paul Cambria, it was all over the 2, 4, and 7, although really not new news for anybody that's been on top of that story. But he has been in talks with Gordon Rieger and Rieger Holdings to purchase Lancaster Speedway, but that's all it's been is talk so far. And as we get later here into March, unfortunately, things not looking great. Still not dead yet, but obviously there needs to be some kind of traction here in before the snow totally melts if we're going to see any racing at Lancaster this year, unfortunately. And then the folks at Hillside and Holland having their issues as well, too. They had a driver registration meeting scheduled for today that it was canceled. They've had to switch program directors there, and unfortunately, both of those facilities are having some issues here for a 2019 season. At least the Hillside facility does have a schedule plan for this year, and they've got various series coming in along with their weekly divisions, but still a little bit of trouble just getting their program fully in place for this upcoming season. We'll see how it all plays out, and I hope if there is any good news here in the coming weeks, we'll certainly talk about it here on Fast Track. Thank you so much for tuning in. We'll be back next week here with more as NASCAR heads to Fontana Kill 40 next weekend, wrapping up the West Coast road trip at Auto Club Speedway. And we'll talk about that and more here next week on Fast Track on WGR. Thanks for listening.